I want to welcome all those folks from around the world. We had over 5,300 people tune in at the consecration from around the nations. Isn't that amazing? We want to fill this church up and go to another service. We have a Spanish population that we need to minister to that's actually in this area. So if you have that kind of you can speak or bilingual. All right now, suck it, suck it. That's all I needed to hear. Look how God provides. And we want to really reach the city. There are a lot of people that need to hear the gospel. And we don't hold it back from anybody. I don't care what color your skin, the gospel is for the world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I want to start off with a testimony. We are armed and dangerous, and sometimes we don't realize it, and sometimes we don't recognize how armed and dangerous we are, and how God had a plan for each of us in this church to do some wonderful things. And it is imperative as a people that we recognize that we can no longer sleep on our Christianity. We can no longer go day to day and say, well, I'm just going to get ready for Sunday. By the time you get to Sunday, most of the work should have already been done. Sunday is a time to celebrate together. Amen? But there is work outside of these four walls that must be done, and you were designed to get it done. You are armed and dangerous. I want to read a testimony from a member who sent this to me, and I want to just kind of share it with you. It says, I want to share this testimony. This happened way before I knew about Frontier Church, but I thought it was worth sharing. I remember this like it was yesterday. Back in my first year of high school, ninth grade, school was out. And I noticed one girl who had been new, but I never really had a chance to meet or talk with her. Every time I saw her, there was just something about her that was telling me to minister to her, to tell her that God loves her and cares for her and has not forgotten her. Wow. This ninth grader felt this pull from the Holy Spirit. And she noticed a young girl, and the pull kept saying, minister to her, even though she didn't understand all that that meant. Tell her I love her. Tell her I haven't forgotten her. Tell her she's valuable to me. She'd go on and say, weeks had gone by, and I didn't say a word until one day I saw her leaving school, waiting for her parents to pick her up. Her backpack was extremely full, and her hands were packed with stuff. Behind us, kids were playing foursquare, and the ball hit her and knocked everything out of her hands. The kids just grabbed the ball, laughed, and went on to play foursquare. We ever had that happen where you're going through something and it looks like everyone else just, they don't see you? They hurt you on the one day you couldn't be hurt by another person. They say the one thing to you that you couldn't take another negative word, and then that happens. Here's what it says. I went over to her and helped pick up everything that fell out of her hands. She was crying. I looked her in the eyes and said to her, I don't know you, but I need to tell you that God loves you and has not forgotten you. I really do pray that you have a great rest of your day. I can imagine she was pretty scared at that moment, pretty upset, wondering, oh man, did I do the right thing? She wiped the tears and gave me a half a smile and walked off. I've been out of high school for almost 2 years now, and I only saw that girl a few times after that, but then never saw her or heard from her again. Recently, I got a letter from her thanking me. In the letter, she told me that on that night, The reason she had her hands so full and her backpack so full was because she was going to kill herself that night, and she didn't want her mom to have to clean out her own locker later on. She said those words touched her life so much and changed everything inside of her. She said she realized there was more to her life than what she had thought to be. She later told her mom that she wanted to kill herself and got herself help. She is now in college, wants to help young people who are going through a tough time in their life, and wants to minister to them. She goes on to say, I say all this to say this. If God is telling you to minister to someone, you need to obey him. If I would have waited a day longer, I would have been too late, and another precious life would have been gone. God has a plan and purpose for everyone. Getting that letter from that girl came at the right time in my life. When I think about what had happened, we both saved each other. The enemy had been trying to attack my mind and spirit to make me believe that I had no purpose and there was no reason to be here. One sermon that Bishop spoke about one Sunday changed everything for me. I told the enemy, checkmate, Satan, checkmate. You will not make me doubt my God. I rebuke this attack on my mind and my spirit. The God I serve never slumbers nor sleeps. I'm here to remind you all that God is way ahead of whatever Satan's trying to attack you with. Those attacks will not prosper. Come on, let's give God a great hand clap of praise. What an amazing testimony. God is infinitely attempting to awaken his people. We may have gone to church since we were young people, and we happened to fall into the will of God sometimes, and other times we totally miss it because there's nobody reminding us of who we are. So we wing it in our life. We wing it trying to go day by day, trying to make things happen in our own strength and our own power. And then we get frustrated. Oh my God. Remember what I said when I said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And when the burden in your life gets too heavy, it's not him. That means we picked up something that was not meant to be picked up. We have to be strong enough to say no. No more. I'm turning around. I can't handle this. This chaos doesn't belong to me. This foolishness is not part of my life. This chaos can't run me another day. This stress is not going to keep me up another night. No, 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 N, oh, no. We got to get to a point of recognizing that when we finally come to grips with the true reality of what Jesus has put into us, we don't have to miss the will of God. It's here, it's present, and it's every day. Can you say that with me? Every day. Say it with me. Every day. His will is? Jesus made it very clear for you and I. He said, take no thought of what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to wear. Most of us, that's what we worry about. Do you have, you know, I was raised, this is going to sound crazy. Mama, I'm sorry, but I have to say this. Don't ever get in an accident. What do your mama always tell you? Make sure you wear. Mama says, always wear clean underwear in case you get in an accident. if I'm in a that bad of accident, them underwear ain't gonna help me then. They may have been clean before. Boom. Oh, glory, glory. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I'm sorry. Where was I going? I just. Yes. God has a purpose. That's why we need the tide. And we try to prepare in so many ways for life, but there's some things that only God can prepare you for. And you know, no matter what kind of trouble that you've been through, God has been there, and he's brought you out, and he's made you who you are because there's a work for you to do. And even if you hadn't recognized it before, I need you to recognize it now. You're armed and dangerous. And if you could recognize this truth, it'd change your life. I want to go from Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. We'll start at chapter 1. And as we talk about armed and dangerous, we're going to end up back at where we were when we began before about God and the armor of God. But we first must understand the purposes of God for our lives. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, it says these words in the New Living Translation. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus. So it'll be like Apostle Paul, who was made an apostle by Jesus Christ through the will of God, to God's holy people in Leesburg, Florida, in Fruitland Park, in Wildwood, Umatilla, Ocala, Central Florida, Orlando. The faithful in Jesus Christ, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He greets us because there's a blessing following his words. He says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in where? The heavenly realms. Are we in the New Living Translation? Yes. The heavenly realms. Watch this. With some spiritual blessings. What does it say? Every spiritual blessing. Now, I need you to catch this. The verbiage is, has blessed us. Not will bless us. Has blessed us. Meaning, everything you need is already waiting for you to grab it. He has already blessed us with every spiritual need. Because you know what? It's not your job that's the problem. It's not that knucklehead that bothers you all the time. It isn't the struggle in your marriage. It's not that cancer. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it is a man's spirit that bears his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear. It's the spirit of a man and of a woman that is able to tell everything on the outside of that physical body what to do. But when it's weak, when it doesn't know who it is, it will accept things that it doesn't have to accept. it will allow things to happen that it doesn't have to allow to happen. Sir, you just told me about a situation that you have. I won't allow it to happen. There's a medical condition. Put your hands towards him. In the name of Jesus Christ, as a sign that God loves you and you are his son, I command healing in your body, that he will wipe out all of the results, and all that will be left is the image before, but the miracle will be the image after. In Jesus' name, amen. He says that he has blessed us in heavenly realms. Heavenly realms. They're not here. I need you to catch this. Your blessings are not here. What happens to you here is a byproduct of what happens there. Do you understand? So your blessings will never come from men, though God may use men. But that's not where good things originate. Every good and perfect thing comes from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. Your blessings are from heaven. You can look to heaven as the source of everything you need. It's not for the here and by, it's for the right now. You can appropriate what belongs to you by listening to who God says that you are. Listen to what he says. He went on to say, with every spiritual blessings in Christ. That means everything you need is in Christ, in Jesus. When was the last time you asked when you really needed something instead of struggling to try to make it happen? Think about it. When's the last time that you were disappointed? And instead of calling someone and complaining, you took it to Jesus because you're in Christ. It's like, if you need something in my house, don't go to my neighbor if you're hungry. Do you understand? Y'all missed it. If you are in my house and you are thirsty or hungry, don't leave my house to go to the neighbor to ask for what you need. Because what you need is in. You have it in my Father's house on many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. You are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit dwells. Everything you need is in the house. But if we don't armor up our minds, armor up our thinking, begin to think like Christ, we will continue to go to the neighbors of the world thinking they are our success. Therefore, if they tell us to compromise, the only way we'll get ahead is to compromise. The only way that I can ever get ahead in life is to lie, cheat, steal, or do drugs. No. That's because you're leaving the house of God, the body of Christ, which has everything in it. How many know that somebody in this room has exactly what you need? In this room right now, you may not even understand it, but like that girl in the ninth grade, she had exactly what that other girl needed. She was in the right place at the right time, and she was in purpose. I need you to understand, you're in the right place at the right time, and you're in purpose. Let's read on. Let's read verse 4. Can everyone read that out loud for me? Go.
Even before he made the world, God was in him.
Say that again. In his eyes, blameless, before the entirety, before the world was made, he chose you. Just think about that for a second. You're chosen. Think about it. You're not a mistake. You suffered, yes, but you're still here. You went through some stuff, yes, but you're still here. Why did you survive the stuff? Because you have a purpose. You're here on purpose. So there's no mistakes. We make mistakes. But the Bible says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. You may have made a mistake, but pick up and keep going, because he's not going to take it off your life just because you made a mistake. You got to get up, get right, and get going. Hello, somebody. Say it with me. Get up, get right, and get going. You all have a work to do. You may be doctors, lawyers, businessmen, teachers, mothers, fathers, whatever you are, but there are people to be ministered to, and you are the one he chose. You have to open yourself up again to say, God, what do you want me to do? Watch this. Can we continue reading on? Verse 5. What? Wait a minute. You mean before you did anything for God, you pleased him by just coming to him? And now when we make mistakes, we think God doesn't love us. But God loved us before we knew him. And it brought him great pleasure to bring us to him. Did you say great pleasure? It wasn't just average pleasure. It wasn't that. Even Jesus described what it was like. He says, when one sinner repents, the angels of God throw a party in heaven and rejoice. All of heaven went nuts when you showed up. It was great pleasure in heaven when you showed up. What did he say to Jesus? Remember when Jesus was getting baptized? He hadn't done anything in his ministry. He hadn't done one miracle. He hadn't done the changing water to wine yet. Nobody knew who he was. But God said, go to the baptism where John the Baptist was. He shows up at the baptism, and John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. And when he goes down into the water, the heavens open up and open heaven and open heaven and open heaven and open heaven. Heaven and open heaven and open heaven and open heaven. He hadn't done anything but done what God called him to do. Come to the waters. That's all I want. Come to where I want you to be, and I will split heaven open over the top of you. Open heaven. And the Bible says, when the heavens opened, a dove came down from the sky and landed on him. Isn't that just what happens when we come to Christ, that the Holy Spirit comes down and lands on us? And the Bible said to John, you'll know he's the Messiah because the Holy Spirit will be on him and remain. When you came to the waters of repentance and salvation, the dove of heaven came down and remained. And then the beauty of it is this. The Bible says, out of heaven a voice came. Behold, this is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. Some of you have been fighting for validation from God. You've been wondering, how do I get God's attention? You already had it. Yeah. You are already, well, God's already well pleased with you. He took great pleasure in getting you. You just got to catch up to his joy. Jesus hadn't done a thing. And yet out of heaven he says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Fathers, sons that don't have fathers, daughters that don't have fathers, the validation you need doesn't come from earth. You are in Christ and he loves you. And there's nothing that you have done that he cannot forgive. Do you understand? There's nothing that you have done that he cannot redeem to work out why you are here. You have a work to do for somebody else. And if you would just accept the love of the Father, that you'll just finally say, God, I won't question your love for me. I receive your love for me. Do what you want to do in my life, and God will begin to move everywhere. Watch what he says in the Word. We're almost done. Watch this. Verse 6. Watch this. Go. Verse 6. Read on. Read on. He has showered his kindness upon us, along with all wisdom and understanding. He has showered. That means it's waiting in store for your request. What is it you need God to do? What is it that you want to see changed? When was the last time you went and pulled what belongs to you from the Word and from the Father? There's a blessing waiting on your life by just opening your mouth and accepting who you are in Him. You are in Christ. And I love what it says. He showered us with kindness. How many of you were brought to God out of love, or you realized God loved you and then you came to him? How many of you were like that? How many came because you were afraid of going to hell? That's in the room. Watch this. God would lead all of us through, the Bible says he draws us through his loving kindness. Can I share this with you? When you armor up, it means changing your mindset. Understanding first who you are in Christ. I'll close with this concept. How many have ever heard the story of the prodigal son? Can I just briefly describe it to you? Because I want to get to the end of the story. There's a kid who said, Dad, give me my inheritance. He was a younger son. And in Jewish culture, you never give your inheritance until you're dead. He says, I want it while you're alive because I cannot wait for my blessing. So the father gives him his stuff. He goes off. The Bible says he spent all of his money on riotous living. And all the friends he had left him when he got broke. Sound familiar? Then he pleaded with a guy to let him work on a pig farm. Now, you got to understand, pigs are unclean animals to the Jew. He went and did everything against what he was brought up and to know what is right. He broke it. He would have been ashamed to his family. While he was sitting there feeding the pigs, he got hungry and said, man, the pigs are eating better than me. And he says, I had better food in my father's house. My servants eat better than this. He said, I need to go home. I'm tired of living like this. And some of you have to get to the point where you're tired because you won't move for change until you get tired of where you are. But I want you to hear this truth. If you just get up out of the pig pen, there is a place in your Father's house. If you'll just wake up and recognize you can't do this on your own, but there is blessings and help for you in your Father's house, because He bought you with a price and you're not your own. The Son got up, went to His Father, came to His daddy, broken, and said, "Daddy, I want to come home. I want to be your son again." And then He says, no, I'll be your servant. Why would you go from son to servant? When you're broken, you can't evaluate your own worth. You can't take it because you know you. You know what you did. You know where you were. You keep seeing your past. But when you come to the Father, He doesn't need you to tell Him who you are. He made. He gave birth. You are His offspring. You have to discover what He thinks about you, not what you think about you. You're not going to get it. He knows what's in His DNA. He knows why you were able to get back. God, dog it. There was a reason you got up again. There was a reason you got out of your muck, because God said, "What's in me is in you, and you can't stay down." You got my DNA, baby. You got my armor on the inside. And we come to God, "God, I'll just be your servant." You know what the Father said to the Son? Watch this. Nothing. All the times I read that story, I kept thinking, yeah, the Father said, "Oh, I love you. Come on back." He didn't say nothing. He said, "Servants, get him a robe." Robe represented sonship. That you ain't got to say nothing. If you're wearing that robe, you get seated at the high table. It don't matter where you've been. It don't matter what you've done. If He puts a robe on you, it's a done deal. Done. The servants of God will come and serve you. The angels will come on your behalf because you belong to God. He puts a robe on you. And then He says, "Get my ring." He pulled that ring and said, "This ring represents my name." Whenever He uses this ring, He gets access and authority. You didn't hear what I just said. This ring represents access and authority and family lineage. This is who I belong to. Son, put it on his finger. And they slid it on his finger. And as long as he had the ring on, he could do what the Father does. The Bible says, He has given us. Go down. Watch this. Go down to verse 13. And we'll close right here. Read it, please. Stop. What? Wait a minute. The Bible says in the King James, He put a seal on you. He gave you a token. It means a down payment. It means until I come back again, use the ring. It means an engagement. God, dog it. You belong to me. Me. You are mine. I give you my Holy Spirit so that you will identify with me, that you don't have to take the pigs in your life. You don't have to take the people that are taking your money. You are a son and a daughter. of the King. Armor up. It's your down payment. Your past don't matter at all. Would you stand to your feet? Thank God he called the past past. Because it's dead to me. It's dead to me. My past has passed. I'll speak a eulogy over it. I'll bury it and no longer look at it again. It's past. But I'm a son now. I'm a son now. I'm a daughter now. I can command the angels. I can walk in authority. I don't have to eat the stuff that pigs eat. I've got all spiritual blessings. Own it. Don't you let the world beat you up. Own it. Sons, daughters, brethren, sisters. There's but one Father, but one leader, one Lord. And it's not anyone in this room. It's Him. And He says, I've called you brethren. And I put in you my spirit. Don't wait just to be prayed for. Command your own blessing. Till it breaks and you begin to recognize, I'm a son. I'm a daughter. I just didn't realize how much I was. Would you lift your hands before God right now? God, in the name of your Son, Jesus, I give you the glory and I honor Jesus today. Would you empower your people to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit that was given them as a ring, a token, until you come and get us all? Would you allow us to walk in our authority, to look at the word not as what Jesus did, but as what Jesus wants us to do, to begin to use them around this city, everywhere, everywhere. Oh, I feel that one. Use these people everywhere. Oh, just lift your hands right now. Just wave them before the Lord. Oh, God, I thank you. You are going to use your people everywhere. In the grocery store, at home, the car lot. God, at the post office, in the hospitals, in the boardrooms. God, in the classrooms, you're going to use your people. And they will rise to their sonship and daughtership. I bless them now. In Jesus' name, amen.